I have five quick items I want to touch on prior to running through the agenda items. The first one is preliminary test scores as they came out. We're not releasing the data yet. We just received those back. Still need to scrub it, where kids count, which kids go here and there. I would say mixed bag. Some things that we're pretty happy about. There were eight levels of testing for ELA, and 8 out of 8, we showed improvement. So we're happy to see that. Math was the area where we had our mixed bag. Another 8 indicators within there. 4 we went up, 4 we went down. When we look at our middle grades, math is the area that I would expect to see Kathy and Alex target and kind of unravel a little bit. Most of them not really significant drops. For example, 5th grade math, I will say last year we received the indicator. To get an indicator, you need 80%. 5th grade math, we were at 81% last year. And this year, the preliminary score is 78. Math 7 showed 82% last year, preliminary score 79. So we're seeing a bit of a drop. We don't know, is it, you know, obviously we want to be way past 80% on those. Is it something to where we don't have enough changes yet inside our curriculum or the way we do business to where we're going to see those huge jumps? But it's also the first time in which students are taking these math assessments online, you know, and being able to use the online calculator and that sort of thing. There were some complaints with that. It's more natural to type in language arts, but then to show your work in math on a computer as opposed to being able to do that. We don't have all the answers yet. And what I am excited about is with the way we've restructured, now I have the people to go in and really unpack it. So, and also I have to say with, I'm gonna talk about staffing next. I'm also thrilled when I look at some of the areas in the middle grades where we're struggling in math, to be able to bring in a principal like Amanda Musselman, who was former math department chair, and that is her focus. I think seeing the areas in which we want to target some growth and the way we're filling our staff and the way we're structuring kind of reinforces why we're doing what we're doing. So I want to hold off really in getting in details on that and let Kathy and her team really dig through and the principals go through and figure this out completely before really going live with some of these. So just wanted to share a little bit of insight on that.
Have you gotten official word yet that there's going to be fewer fewer tests next year?
That was part of the Senate bill. And one of the things that, you know, we've done work with the Alliance this year. And one of the recommendations that came out through them and also others was the reauthorization of ESSA, Educational Standards Act. One of the things that we really wanted to see, it's an opportunity with this reauthorization to reduce the number of tests that our students take per year to the federal levels. One of the things that Ohio has done is Ohio hasn't met a test it didn't like. They really focus on assessment, which is, I believe, my opinion, when you look at it from a legislator's point of view, they view it as accountability. When you look at it from a school district's point of view, and even a parent and a student perspective, it's more of another test. Another assessment, and every time you start bringing in more assessments, you're taking away less instruction time. So it's you know, you're trying to increase the weight of the cow by weighing it instead of feeding it, and so that's kind of the mentality is, if you want to increase what the students know, have more instruction and less assessments, mm-hmm. And so that's what. I do believe they have that in there, and that is something that we're going to see as a reduction to the federal minimum. So that's a good thing.
Scott, is there a way to measure, do you believe, test taking online for math, whether it is an online issue or a computer issue, a desktop issue, or?
Yeah, I think one of the things we have to do is I bring up the online part as a variable. It's not the variable. You know, I think it's one of the things that, you know, we should be integrating the technology anyway, and we should be teaching these skills anyway. And I think we need to increase what we're doing inside there. But on the other hand, we also have to analyze our instruction and how we're delivering and what we're delivering and what pace are we delivering things at. So I think that's going to be difficult going from, you could look at last year and this year and that sort of thing, but
And another thought I have is I think of a CFP board exam. I think of a CPA board exam. Those are still paper tests.
Yeah.
So you have professionals out in the nation that are still taking these professional assessments board exams, and they still use paper. I think about crunching the numbers, figuring out a financial plan or a CPA problem, and having that paper and those numbers and writing that down and bringing that in. Makes a lot more sense when it comes to math issues.
I think it does too. I think that makes a lot of sense, and you know, so I don't know. I guess it would be something that maybe we can have the team report back later on some of their findings and working with staff.
Because with the Dolans and the Greenspans.
Yeah, and I but then again, I will say there are going to be other school districts who are getting much better scores in the math. So it's one of those where I want to treat it as a variable, but not an excuse. And you know, I don't want to sit back and have us say, well, you know, all the tests are new. Like, well, listen, everybody's taking the test the same way. So we're gonna.
We're required to have them online.
But I agree with you though. Yeah. The math one, that's the one thing I try and gauge a lot of things on what makes sense. What makes sense to me, I get the language arts part. I get it. You know, we use word processors more than we write letters or write papers anymore anyway. I just think about it personally. When I do math, I scribble. I like to have a pencil. I like to have a piece of paper, and I like to do it. And then if I have to transcribe, you know, my scribbles onto and show my work on a computer, I probably would have difficulty with that. Now, so I don't know. We haven't seen enough data to see even those who are scoring 85, 86, 87, 90%, you know, were they at 95% last year and they're down to 91% this year? I don't know. And so we can look at it and say, well, we were close last year at 81 and now we're at 78. Did we really do a worse job, you know, instructing, or do we factor in some of that? That's why I really, you know, this is very raw. I mean, something we probably received 4 days ago. I mean, this isn't, and so that's why I'm not comfortable giving a full report on that. But what I will say is that, you know, we are gonna look at it, and one of the things we're gonna do is we're not gonna make excuses for anything. We're gonna identify what we need to do. We're not, makes me crazy when you read the articles and everybody says, oh, it's because of this reason and that reason. Well, I get that, but we're all, like my friends in business will say, hey, listen, you know, that's what you got to do. And it's one where, you know, you can't sit and say my product's not selling and just complain about it. You know, it's not going to help. You got to figure out the reason why and fix it. So we're going to figure out all the different things. And again, I love the fact we have Amanda in there. I love the fact that I'm going to have Kathy and Alex focused on things so they can sit down. I'll give you another side example that just makes me feel good as we go into next year. They've already cleared out. Now, Kathy will have an office here in central office, but they've cleared out an office for her in the high school as well. So she's going to be able to spend X amount of days where she will show up and be in the high school. So I love the fact that my directors now are going to be in the buildings, seeing the classrooms and working in there instead of being up here trying to keep up with everything. So that, again, I think it's going to pay dividends, and I think it's the smart thing to do, and you know, we'll move forward with it. Speaking of that, I'd like to transition into the hiring of employees. We've had a bunch of different processes happening. The board was able to meet Kevin Berry. He'll be on the agenda in a little bit. He is going to be the assistant principal at Lee Burnison Middle School. Last year, he was an assistant principal at Wycliffe High School. He finished the year as interim principal there. They're going through some changes, and I think they're going to have they are going to do a floating principal. And it's funny, in talking to Kevin, is when he was in Brunswick, they did a floating principal. So he was in Brunswick, and then they floated the principal, and then went to Wycliffe, and they're going to float a principal. And because our question to him was, you were the interim principal of the high school. Why would you want to come here and be the middle school assistant principal? And he's like, I just want a place. You know, I want to be in one place and be able to do that. And so to get somebody with his experience, we are absolutely thrilled about. And even though, you know, because, you know, we are going to need him to be an intern for a little bit less next year with Amanda being out for a short period of time. So he just really is a good fit there, and we're excited about bringing Kevin in. Two guidance counselors. We have Saskia Romeo coming in as the middle school counselor. One of the things we've done is, if you attend our board meetings, you would see that the CAC provided a report. We used that report and to help develop interview questions for the guidance counselors coming in. And I'll give you an example. There's a part in their report where they cite that 40 or 52% of the students who were surveyed indicated that their pre-secondary academic counseling did not influence their course selection in high school. So when they were in middle school, 52% of them said, whatever information we received from our academic counseling did not impact our course selection in the high school. And in that same, the next question, I believe they were asked, the students were asked, was, who did you turn to? And well over 60% said their parents. Their parents helped them choose their courses. So what's interesting is, when you fast forward into the parent survey, 67%, I believe, of the parents said they didn't make their decisions based off of the academic counseling of the pre-secondary courses here. So here's what we have. The students aren't turning to the middle school academic services, they're turning to their parents. And their parents aren't turning to the academic services, you know, guidance that we have. So then we're surprised with misplacements and shifting and everything in the high school, where if we do that, and if we do it well pre-secondary, and we put people in the courses as best we can off the best information, it's going to benefit our high school counseling services. So I think a lot of times when we look at our high school counseling services and say, we're really frustrated with what's happening here, does it stem from earlier services that we provide? Because can we put our high school counselors in a situation to where they're not fixing and resolving wrong placements, instead of having them focus on the moving forward? Mm-hmm. So it was a really beneficial report, and so we were able to target it. And Saskia Romeo is a high school guidance counselor, and she's worked with transition programs from 8th to 9th. She started the Naviance program, which is a program that's used in the high school. Now we can bring it into the middle school. So there's a lot of different things that we believe, adding her to Adina, to the team of Adina, she's going to be able to provide that academic guidance that we think we need there. Mallory Hayworth in our elementaries was another one who just really stood out, and you had a chance to meet her right before. And she did, she filled in for Adina when she was on maternity leave. So they had a chance to get to see her as well, and she'll be replacing Sandy Urban. So we believe that in those guidance positions, school counseling positions, we got some really fantastic people. So we're excited about the hiring that we have. The DIS team is finishing up. They're going to have a recommendation, I think, today for the assistant principal at DIS. So that's going well, and I know they're excited about the candidates they have there. So it's really coming together well this summer as far as moving forward with staffing. So another thing, Todd mentioned closing on the land exchange. We're setting a date of honor before July 19th is what we're looking at for that closing debate to bring everything together there. Speaking on that note, this upcoming Thursday, July 6th at 6:30 at the Methodist Church, we are going to, we want to talk to the neighbors of the project. So we're not, we don't want it spanned out to everybody in Westlake come and talk about the project. We want to be able to talk to the folks, you know, over on Glenmore, Westtown, just in that surrounding area. Even we're inviting the businesses across the street next door to come and be able to meet with the construction team, as well as the architects and myself. So, you know, I know that they're going to have questions about how many buses are going to be coming through. Where are the service trucks going to come in? How are you going to stage the property? You know, all of those type of things. And it's really targeted for neighbors. So we'll have another thing for other parts of the community as well, but we want to make sure that we're able to have a conversation with the neighbors of that property, and that'll happen on July 6th. And we thank the Methodist Church for allowing us to use their hall area for us to be able to do that.
Do you want any of us to be there?
You guys are, you know, you're welcome to come. I think the priority will be for construction and architects, because I think there'll be logistical questions that people will have there. I'll be happy to share the layouts and the different, you know, goals we have for the site. You're welcome to be there as well. But
maybe we can
6:30.
Focus on that, figure out who can go.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And the last thing I have, a project that I'm excited about, and again, back to, you know, when we look at the different things we're able to do now permanent improvement-wise, we are going to be starting the construction of a sidewalk from LBMS to Bassett Road. That's another thing that has been discussed, but now we're in a position to do. We really believe that's going to help. Obviously, the first thing you want to do is make sure kids have a safe route, you know, getting to and from school. And that's a sidewalk that has been lacking mm-hmm. on our campus, and it will be resolved this summer.
Yay.
Yes.
Just a quick question. And I know you and I have talked about this. Have you, and I know this is probably a combination of your construction group that meets and then Kim's work as well, have you decided on a date for the groundbreaking?
We did. Yeah, we did. And I thought it was, you know what we're talking about doing? It's the, we want to connect it to the September board meeting.
I think it's September 25th.
Yeah, I think September 25th, and we had, and Dana, you reserved. One of the things we'll talk about doing is we want to have that board meeting at the library, and Dana has secured the room for that. So what we can do is we can do a groundbreaking before, we can mm-hmm. start the board meeting actually, and
yeah.
then do a groundbreaking, and then mm-hmm. have the board meeting mm-hmm. Right over at the library.
Great plan.
Now, originally we had talked about a groundbreaking in August. Is this going to set us back?
Not at all.
Okay.
They're not going to physically do work until late September, early October.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're doing pre-site and they're going to get everything ready. We're going to be ready to roll, but when they're actually going to be physically doing the work is going to be late September, early October.
Well, and then to piggyback off that, mm-hmm. you and I were talking about it, and I know you and Todd were going into a construction meeting. When will we be starting to get those regular reports from the construction group, from just that fiscal report monthly?
I know John was in there too. We talked about those reports, and I'd have to look to see the actual date of that. But the construction company is going to be doing that. They're going to put together those monthly reports.
Yeah, the construction company can
come to the board.
Yeah, they'll come to the board
monthly. Yeah,
they can.
So August, can we shoot for August to be the first one?
I would say that, you know, on the financial side of it, okay,
mm-hmm.
we're not looking at approving a GMP until that September 25th meeting.
Right.
So until we know what the budgets are, okay, we know what their GMP is, not when I say the budget, not our budget, but what their budget is going to be. The GMP is the guaranteed maximum price. So through the construction manager at risk, they set, you know, this is the maximum price, and this is gonna, this project is going to be broken up into 2 to 3 GMPs.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is for an early site package. That's where, you know, they'll start clearing out the property, grading it to the proper levels, and then putting in utilities. So that will be the first GMP. And then by the end of the calendar year, we'd be looking at doing a second GMP for the actual project itself of building the school itself. Mm-hmm. The reason we're doing that is, as we're moving along through the construction or the design process, which we have the boards right there, you know, it is we're not at the point or won't be at the point in September to have everything detailed out and everything priced out for them to do a GMP on the full overall project. Mm-hmm. So we break it out so that we can move things along a little quicker, but still allow for that design to happen over the last few months of the year.
That makes sense.
So you would start seeing the financial reports from the construction company, I would say probably more likely in October.
Okay.
After we have a GMP set and we can start breaking out how it will be spent, and then there are reports that we'll get monthly.
Because technically we're really not spending that money right now.
We're not. Right now the only thing the board has contracted with is up to a certain level, I apologize, I don't remember it off the top of my head, but up to a certain level of they're allowed to do for their pre-planning, pre-work, mm-hmm. as they're spending time on the project, they're allowed to bill for that. Mm-hmm. And that all gets wrapped into the GMP anyways. But mm-hmm. so you'll see that at the September 25th meeting is where we're planning on for the GMP. And we'll have that to the board. I've requested the board have a minimum of 10 days to review the GMP.
Okay.
So that, because it is detailed, and I want to make sure everyone has that opportunity.
That sounds good.
So they'll have it to us by September 15th. We'll pass it on to the board, hopefully that same day. And then September 25th is when the actual vote would be.
Okay, so we approve that. All right. Okay. Excellent. So it might behoove us just to have the construction, even though we don't have that GMP set until September, to have the construction group come and at least start with some sort of a report of what we can expect going forward, mm-hmm.
sure.
and that sort of thing. Especially
yeah, they're open to that.
That'd be awesome. So maybe August we can make that happen. Important. I know there's excitement building in the community for it.
Good.